Welcome to Triangle 411, the pulse that moves the Triangle world today. It's a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, what's trending, social good, events, and boundless other adventures. A conversation pit of comedians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi, friends. According to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, more than 100 million people in the U.S. have various types of allergies. And when it comes to seasonal pollen allergies, oh, that yellow stuff, the foundation's yearly Allergy Capitals report explored the most challenging place to live in the United States and the top 100 U.S. cities. Here are their top 10 findings. Listen if where you live is included. The top 10 most challenging places to live with seasonal allergies are Wichita, Kansas, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Greenville, South Carolina, Dallas, Texas, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Poor Oklahoma's getting hit here. Number 7, Richmond, Virginia. 8, Des Moines, Iowa. 9, Raleigh, North Carolina. Raleigh, North Carolina. And 10, Fayetteville, Arkansas. There certainly is a lot of info out there on allergies, including grandma's old remedy of covering your nose with a mason jar. But wherein lies the truth about the big A? We're calling this segment Bust a Myth. What to believe and not to believe about several different types of allergies. To help us with this, we have invited Dr. Heather Gutekits of Allergy Partners to share her expertise on the subject. The doctor is an allergy specialist with over 20 years of experience in the medical field. Welcome, doctor.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, and I'm so happy you're here to help us debunk some of this misinformation about allergies that have gone the way of wives' tales and folklore. There's a lot out there. So let's start with the big one. Allergies only develop in children. Adults can't get allergies. True or false?
So that would be false. You can develop allergies at any time during your lifetime. Depending on what specific allergy triggers we're speaking of course, environmental allergies can change, especially if you move to a new geographic region. For example, you get exposed to new tree pollens, grass pollens, or weed pollens. And of course, unfortunately, you can develop new pet allergies at any time during your lifetime.
I'm glad you brought up pets because I wanted to find out if this is true or, again, a myth. You can't be allergic to a pet unless they shed.
So I'm very glad that you asked that. That is one of the more popular myths that are out there. There are many breeds that are marketed as hypoallergenic species, and those animals do not shed, but they actually did study this and compared to some of the breeds that are often found in shelters. The hypoallergenic, quote-unquote, breeds have higher levels of allergen than the other breeds. So basically, the allergen for pets is found in the dander or their skin cells, which can also be in the saliva. So all pets, at least now in 2024, have those skin cells containing the allergen. So until we have animals that don't have that, or they figure out a way to genetically alter them, we will still have allergies with pets.
Okay, that explains the sneezing I had the other day at my friend's house.
Oh, no.
So here we go. What about perfume and cigarette smoke? A lot of people consider this an allergen. I'm not sure. I think it's more of an irritant.
Right. So that's a good question, too. So when we talk about allergic reactions, there's a couple of different ways that they occur in the body. Tobacco smoke can be an irritant to folks who have sensitive airways, especially our asthma patients, as can smelling perfume. So when you think about being exposed to the smell of a perfume, that's more of an irritant reaction in most instances. But if we are talking about applying perfume to our skin, you can develop a contact dermatitis or what we would call a delayed type hypersensitivity reaction to having the substance on your skin. It's actually one of the more common triggers for contact dermatitis, fragrance mixes and different things that are in perfumes.
Allergies, there's all kinds out there. So there's a couple things. I'm going to give you a couple here together. A lot of people think peanut allergies are the worst, so I want to deal with that in your response. And then also, just basically, are all allergies created equally?
So that's a big question. So when we think about food allergies in general, I am mostly thinking of IgE or allergy antibody mediated processes with foods. There are certainly other types of sensitivities, intolerances, and non-allergy antibody mediated reactions that you can have to food products. But in patients who have an IgE-mediated food allergy, whether it be triggered by peanuts or shellfish or milk or egg, all of those have the potential to be a life-threatening reaction. So in my mind, they're all severe. If we're talking about intolerances or side effects from foods, I think you have more ability there for some things that might be mild or based on how much you're ingesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. What about mold spores?
So you can definitely be allergic to mold. We do test for a variety of mold species. And a lot of times I feel like, patients read a lot about mold online, whether or not it be mold exposure in their homes or mold allergy. Two different things can happen there with mold. We mostly focus on, again, the allergy antibody mediated reactions that you can have to mold. And you can be exposed to mold in a lot of different environments. Just going outdoors, you're going to be exposed to mold spores. And obviously on decaying fruit and vegetation and plants, you can also be exposed to mold, but you can be allergic to mold.
Now, I don't know how this myth got started, but many people believe bee pollen and local honey can mitigate allergies.
Yeah, so again, a little bit of a myth. I wish that were true. I think honey is a very nice food product, but a lot of the research on that has not proven that bee pollen or honey from the bees is an effective therapy for treating allergic diseases.
So now here's one for me personally. I love to walk through gardens, doctor. So please tell me this isn't so. Flowers can cause hay fever.
So typically flowering products or plants that flower rely on bees to move their pollen. And the pollen is actually too big to cause a lot of an immune response. So you should be safe as far as allergies with your flowering plants. Most of them do not make pollen that causes a lot of allergic rhinitis symptoms.
Interesting. Okay, great. So a couple more topics here. Let's see, where do I want to go next? I don't want to go too deep in this because we're going to talk about treatment and some other things, but for just now, true or false, allergies are for life.
So it depends on what the allergy is. In general, unfortunately, environmental allergies, if you are having those in childhood, there is a small chance that they can go away as we age. But most of the time, especially once we reach adulthood, environmental allergies, pollens, dust mites, pets, et cetera, you tend to keep those. Now, we can desensitize to those things in our clinic through allergy shots, but you will likely still be allergic to them if you don't go through that therapy process. Food allergies can go away, especially some of the ones that start early in life, but it depends on the food that you're allergic to as far as what the chances of that are. And we haven't touched much on medication allergies, but oftentimes those do not go away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are two things I want to get in, but take them one at a time.
Sure.
So, you know, the last thing we're going to talk about is treatments. But before we get into that, besides medications and medical type treatments, are there some natural ways to deal with allergies?
So there are some supplements that patients have taken that report to be beneficial. There have not been any scientific studies that prove that they are better compared to medications or allergy immunotherapy through double-blind controlled placebo challenges or studies.
Mm-hmm. Where do you kind of land with the whole, you know, take showers, get allergen covers for your pillows, make sure you change your AC filters. Do you find that those are really worthwhile treatments or not, or helpful aids anyway?
Yeah, so I do think environmental avoidance is extremely important, and the education regarding limiting allergy exposure can be very beneficial for patients. The most that you can do without adding a medication, in my mind, is good as far as lifestyle modifications and things of that nature. Dust mite avoidance measures can be life-changing for some patients as well. So getting, if you're allergic to dust mites, getting the covers on there and washing your sheets and keeping your humidity low can all be quite helpful.
So now, probably the biggest myth of all, there are no treatments for allergies. You just have to soldier on and deal with them.
Oh,
please tell us
No. That's
not true.
We have many effective therapies to treat allergies, so don't suffer in silence. And sometimes if you don't treat them, they can become more problematic for you. Untreated allergies can result in more frequent sinus infections and ear infections, which can also have further long-term implications. So we do want to make sure we're addressing that and treating. Sometimes allergies can even affect our quality of sleep at night. If your nose is congested and you might not be getting into the deep sleep that we all need. So we want to make sure we're addressing and treating as best we can. We have lots of options. Again, the first is identifying and limiting the exposures. And once we get past that, we have medication options with tablets and nasal sprays. And then we also have immunotherapy, which can actually alter the way that the body views these allergens.
Is there anything new on the horizon when it comes to treatment for allergies?
So I'm sure there's always things in the work. There's nothing specific that I know of now. The most recent things we have are sublingual tablets and sublingual drops that we can use in addition to our allergy injections for immunotherapy.
I think you've put a lot of clarity in people's lives, if not in their eyes, for all the allergies happening. So I appreciate you being here and helping us debunk some of these myths about allergies.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I hope everyone out there gleaned some new information, ways to get treatment, things you didn't think about before. I don't know. I love honey, but you might still want to just enjoy it because it's a amazing treat rather than something that treats allergies. But take this and utilize it to your best benefit. That's a wrap, 2024. I'm Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today's pocket, be the spark.